Let us turn to the scriptures, beloved, shall we? Perhaps we ought to have a light on. I was asked a little earlier if tonight I will speak concerning the bride. I don't need a lot of encouragement to do that. And so then, as God shall enable, we will take our Bibles in our hands and we will come again on such a well-known theme among us that it ought to be a well-worn one. I turned to appeal to a certain person when I was asked to say, oh, but you'll be fed up with hearing me speak about the bride. And this person said, never. And so then, with this assurance, from one who must have heard this theme before and dwelt upon it lovingly with me upon many occasions in the past, let's go again, and shall we? All fresh to the great book of the bride. For, beloved, this is the great book of the bride. You will know that there was the book of the bridegroom and the bride. You have it in Genesis chapter 1, where God made Adam and then gave them Eve. Hallelujah. And you turn to the last book of the Bible and the last chapter, and you find it all over again. And I want then, seeing that God has encompassed all the rest in this wonderful sandwich, all the things that are said in between. This, beloved, is the ideal in the heart of God. This is that which he began with in the beginning, and as surely as you believe that he began with it in the beginning, you must as well understand and take it deeply into your heart that before Genesis 1 was, Revelation 21 and 22 were. In the heart of God. And that's why Adam was formed, then Eve, and that's why everything else has taken place. In fact, you will remember that in true marriage, where firstly it was because Eve was married to Adam, joined to Adam, so men ought men to leave their mothers and fathers and be joined to their wives and vice versa. When you get to the New Testament, you will find that the whole condition for it is Jesus Christ and his bride. Because that was before Adam and Eve were formed, and still is in the heart of God. As surely as we're in this room this night together, beloved, as sure as this is so, here, God is brooding over us by his Spirit, that our hearts should come to a perfect understanding of this, and know this, that in God's heart and provision for us. So then, we'll turn to Revelation, shall we? And in this great book, beloved, you see in chapter 21 and verse 1, John the Revelator speaking, saying that he saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And so on in this great unfolding of truth. And you will see that in verse 9 there comes an angel to John, and he says, talking with him, in the end of the verse he says, "Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." He carries him away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, shows John that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. And so the city, the bride, beloved, is a city full of people. Amen. And in the great new creation of God, it is New Jerusalem, Holy Jerusalem. This company of people alone, that is the bride. And you will see that before John starts to talk about the city, he's very careful to tell you about the new heaven and the new earth, and the absence of the sea. Do you see that? Because you will know that he can talk about New Jerusalem. And New Jerusalem is the company of people that comes through the sea. You understand that? We were saying last night that the pearl comes up out of the sea. Is that right? Mm-hmm. This is the great truth. The pearl of great price comes out of the sea. And all those who are in New Jerusalem are people of the sea. And when you go down to the seaside, to Exmouth or Sidmouth or Budley Salterton or wherever it is you want to go, some of these wonderful places, and you see these oceans, being taught about them, you must understand that God has been seeking by the sea to get a truth over to your heart. And the truth is this, that when Solomon built his temple, he turned what was the labor in the tabernacle into the sea in the temple. And the sea, the labor, stands for regeneration. After the blood shed at the altar, the laver or sea of regeneration. All right? And that's the ways of the holy. And of course, there's no division between the holy and the holiest now. The veil's rent. And that's the way right in. And so God does away with the sea. These are the people who come via the blood, the altar, and the labor of regeneration, and there they are. This is the great city. And it's crystal clear, like the water that was in the sea, great sea. All right? Praise God. And there she is, in all her beauty and glory. And so in the new earth, the new heaven, there's not going to be any sea. Praise God. It's all going to be the result of it. And again, we were talking a little earlier, and we saw, or I pointed out to the little group of us that were speaking, that in New Jerusalem you don't find the Holy Ghost mentioned. You have the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. But you search in vain for now. Where's the Holy Spirit? What you have is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb and the Bride. This is one of the great things where John is concerned. He's giving this wonderful revelation of the working of the Spirit. For the Holy Ghost, beloved, has come forth to find the Bride for Christ. And she's beautiful with all the beauty of the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Ghost has brought the glories of Jesus, the wonderful fullness of his love, and made them hers. Amen. And she has come forth by power of Spirit from the Lamb, through the shed blood. Alleluia. And the Holy Ghost, if you like, has almost lost his identity. Of course he hasn't. He's identified with the blessed New Jerusalem. She is the result of his work. You're born of the Spirit. Amen. Because of the power of redemption in the blood. Amen. Glory. The scripture distinctly says you're not born of blood. You must understand this. You're not born of blood. You've read that in your Bible, haven't you? John 1. You're not born of blood. You're redeemed by the blood. You're born of the Spirit. Because of the redemption and the life seed that was in the blood. Alright? Praise God. And you've been born of the Spirit. You must always believe your Bible when you read. You're not born of blood, you see. You must understand that. You are redeemed. That was the great price of redemption. Amen. And the Holy Ghost now has brought you forth. Eh? Is this true? This is how it's got to be, beloved. So that you get, in the last chapter of Revelation, the Spirit and the Bride. You see, they're linked. The Spirit and the Bride, the Father and the Lamb, the Spirit and the Bride. That's right. He says, I and my Father are one. Is that right? The Spirit and the Bride are one. Okay? You've got this tremendous truth. One there. The Holy Ghost has given himself, my beloved, as truly as Jesus gave himself. Jesus was the redemptive Lamb on the cross, gave himself for us, and by the Spirit has given himself to us. And the Holy Ghost has just given to us. The great thing about the Holy Ghost that said in the Acts of the Apostles is that he's poured forth. The Holy Ghost is a poured forth person. Amen. And he's come forth, beloved, to bring into being this matchless city, this bridal people for the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. Now, this then was the revelation that God gave to Jesus Christ. You know, the book of the Revelation starts off like this, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, you see. This is the great revelation. And there it is. Amen. Lots of things about seals and horsemen and trumpets and I don't know what, and ages and times. And that's all fine. But oh, beloved, it's all moving through to this. It's all moving through to this. And this is why Jesus went through all that he went through, beloved, because this was the great fixation of his heart. This was the love of his heart that he saw this great bride and he died for her. Amen. And lives for her. Just lives for her. That's right. And you and I, beloved, have got to be brought by the Spirit to this place where we live for him. For the city is for him, the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. That's what the city's for in the great new creation. You understand that? And of course on the earth there are going to be nations of saved people on the new earth, but they won't belong to that great bridal. Lots of other people are going to be saved beside those that are with the New Jerusalem company. It says so if you read your Bible, probably. It's very clear. Nations of them that are saved, they will walk on the new earth in the light of New Jerusalem. Hallelujah. In the light of New Jerusalem, it says so. Amen. You see? And all salvation, as it shines and has saved men from the beginning of time, the light has been shining through New Jerusalem. All time, beloved, in the heart of God. The acme of all salvation, the high point, the glory of it all. Those in whom it is worked out to its utmost perfection. The bridal company. Amen. You see, ancient Israel was saved. You see, the ancient Israel was there. But oh, they were full of murmurs and grumbles. They had all sorts of things. And boy, preachers will be preaching about it all day tomorrow, all over the place, about these kinds of things. I want God to raise up a company of preachers to preach this. That's what I want. It's my great prayer. The great, great prayer and desire of my heart is that God will raise up a race of preachers in this country that will preach this great truth and know what they're preaching, so that men and women know where they are and what they're doing and what it's all about, and they're not left groping about in the dark in ignorance. All right. Now I want you then to turn with me back into the book of, into Matthew, shall we? Look into Matthew's Gospel. And in the Gospel of Matthew, you will find in the 9th chapter some very wonderful words. And in verse 14, this is what we're reading. There came to Jesus the disciples of John, and they said, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples, they don't fast at all?" And Jesus said unto them, "Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast." Now when the Lord Jesus came down onto this earth, he came as the great bridegroom. That's how he came. He came with his heart full of love, looking for a wife, looking for a bride. That's why he came. He just didn't come, shall I like say, to die aimlessly. "Oh, I'm just going to die so that there can be a redemptive price." Oh, no, no. He came looking for a bride. Praise God. Well, there's no story ever been written, no fairy story about princes leaving ivory castles that we tell to children. And going out looking for brides and all the sort of fantastic things that happen, beloved, to equal this. Amen. Nothing. That the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Glory, came down to this earth, disguised as a man, if you like. That's right. He was God. He came down as a man. This is right. Incognito. Just the word, if you like. As I've already said today, he came and was born in a stable and undertook to bear all his life the stigma of ignorant hearts saying that he was conceived out of wedlock and was never properly born, because he was born of the Holy Ghost. God was his father, not Joseph. But he had to bear it all his life. He was an outcast from best society. He was everything. He came seeking his bride, beloved, who got to be born of the Holy Ghost, as he was. And bear stigma and shame and everything. Oh, a tremendous position. He came seeking a bride. Hallelujah. And when he came, he turned this world into a bride chamber. And all the time he was on the earth, all his disciples were just children of the bride chamber. That's what they were. Amen. Isn't it a wonderful thing? You see, this idea is not foreign in Scripture. You will remember that if you read the 19th Psalm, this sort of language is used about the Son. That he comes forth as a bridegroom. That's right. You see, and he's come to woo into life and light. He's come to bring forth a response from the earth, flowers and fruit and all sorts of things. This wonderful bridegroom of a Son. Do you understand? This is the truth. And why he comes, this blessed Lord Jesus, and he turned it into a bride chamber. That's what he did. Let's have a look into John, shall we? Chapter 3. We'll get this same wonderful truth brought out in the third chapter of John. There arose a question in verse 25 between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom that standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. Hallelujah. This is the thing that he said about the Lord Jesus Christ. My joy is that I am the friend of the bridegroom, he said. Wonderful. And, he knew that men and women were being drawn to Jesus in his perfect love. He knew that, and he knew that he was going to lose disciples, but he wasn't a bit worried. He just wanted the Lord Jesus to come into all that for which he left heaven. That's what he wanted, and he stood by and he said some wonderful things about the Lord Jesus Christ. We may have time to refer back to them a little later. And so this whole truth of the love of God developed and unfolded. And it was at a later time when we read in Matthew 9 that Jesus said this thing. You see, you'll always notice that this truth is said against the background of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit. Notice, this is in the third chapter of John, which speaks about being born of water and of the Spirit. And you will know that John Baptist, who talks about himself the bridegroom, the friend of the bridegroom, and Jesus the bridegroom, he said of him in the first chapter, he said, he will baptize with the Holy Ghost. That's what he said. And if you go with me again to Matthew chapter 9, you'll find that it's in this great context that the whole thing is spoken. For if we had read on from verse 15, where we finished reading, you would have found in verse 17, we needn't note 16, Men do not put new wine into old wineskins, else the wineskins break, and the wine runneth out, and the wineskins perish. But they put new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. Hallelujah. Jesus wants to do such a work in us, beloved. He does such a work, it's so wonderful, and then he wants to preserve it. He wants to preserve it under this great heavenly kingdom. And only the blessed fullness of the Spirit can do this. You cannot be preserved in any pristine work or any great inception of the work of God in your life. You cannot be preserved in it. You can't keep it intact and beautiful and wonderful unless you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Can't be done. Oh, it's wonderful to be baptized in the Spirit. Wonderful to be immersed in God in that sense. And there's a wonderful sense in which your floor is being filled all inside with glorious wine. Amen. And then preserved, all full up. All full up with God. Now this is how the Lord is speaking, and you must see it in this context. This is it. Let's go on in John's Gospel, shall we? For you will remember that we read in Matthew 9 that these people had come to Jesus and they said, how is it that our disciples and John's disciples fast often, and your people, they don't fast at all? And he said, well, you just can't make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them. But he said, they will fast when I've been taken away. And this you'll find in John chapter 16. Let's follow the great thought through, shall we? In the 16th chapter of John, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says something like this, or this is the record anyway. In verse 18, they say, what is this that Jesus says a little while? We cannot tell what he said. Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do you inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while, and you shall not see me, and again, a little while, and you shall see me? Amen, amen. I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament. There it is. But the world shall rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful. But your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she's in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she's delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. Glory. Now you'll know whether you really are in this bridal company, because you will have the man-child born into you. You'll have the bridegroom in your own heart. That's where he'll be. Travail and sorrow and all kinds of things may happen to you. Glory be to God. It happened because this Jesus, they were believing in an outward Jesus, you see, a Jesus after the flesh. But they had to come to a place where Paul says, oh, well, we don't know anybody after the flesh. We know Jesus Christ after the flesh. We don't even know him after the flesh anymore. We know him after the Spirit. You see, you've got to know this man-child after the Spirit. Inside here. All so wonderful. When that happens, you will have passed from being a child of the bride chamber, and you will be a member of the bride company. will be a member of the bride company. Your travail will all be over. Your sorrows along the slide will all be gone. Hallelujah. Oh, he's there. You'll know him. It'll all be wonderful. Inside, God will have performed the glorious operation. You'll go on and flood your life.
Hallelujah.
More and more and more. That's what it's all about. You see, beloved, he's come to win your heart. He's come, beloved, and I'm going to tell you this. He doesn't come like some great overpowering person sort of paying the price and going in your mind, and I'm going to have you whether you want it or whether you don't. That's not the way he comes. He comes and he pleads for your heart. He's got to have your love. You, my beloved, have got to be head over heels in love with Jesus. Got to be greater than any love you know for any man or woman. Yeah. Glory. Got to be so wonderful that you're prepared to do what he did for you. He left his father's home, house, he left all his kindred, if you like. He left everything. He left heaven for you. And you've got to be prepared to leave everything and everybody for the Lord Jesus Christ. Right, here are a couple of sweet girls here, they're very glad. And they've left home, they've left their native countries, they've left their country to come to England and learn nursing. Well, if people would do that just for nursing, that's right, isn't it? That's right. If people would do that just to learn to nurse, what ought you be prepared to be the glorious bride of Christ? What ought you be prepared? What ought you be prepared to leave? And shame on every one of us if we're not. Some people never come into this glorious realization. They won't ever know this great abandoned love of God. It's only abandoned people who get there. Look how abandoned he was. A shameful thing. Staked out on a cross. Stay down on a cross. You wouldn't be seen dead there. Would you? That's just where you have got to go, see. It's all got to come. You've got to be such an abandoned creature that nobody knows. Some people may even stand and beat their breasts at the sight of it. But glory be to God. That's what happened. They stood and beat their breasts and wailed. He said, don't you weep for me, you daughters. He said, don't you weep for me. Weep for yourselves. He said, don't you weep for me. That's what he said. Yeah, they're the words of his mouth. Glory. He knew that he was going to win a bride. He was going to win a bride. Hallelujah. I tell you, he's won my heart. I love him.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I love him for it. I love him. I can love him. He holds up everything that's glorious and idealistic for me. Everything to aim at. Everything to leave home and parents and loved ones and everything for. Everything to leave this world for. Amen. And ultimately leave this earth for. Amen. You see? That's it. Jesus holds out a glorious prospect. He doesn't come with a whip. He doesn't come to drive you. He comes to allure you. He comes to tempt you. You say, tempt me? Yeah, tempt you. God tempted Abraham to do a wonderful thing. And he did it. Read it. Isaiah, Genesis 22. God tempted Abraham to step up into a glorious place. And Abraham was as good as God.
Amen.
You say, what? Yes, he was. He responded to the challenge. Did it. Went through like God did. That's why we're always talking about it. You see. And this is it. This is it, beloved. And the Lord has come to seek your heart's love. Are you ready to really be in this great bridal company? Praise God. Ready to leave everything. Ready to have God's will only in your life. Ready to have God's choices fulfilled in you. Now don't start a self-imposed martyrdom over the self-immolation and all that. Now don't start that. There's a proper cross for you. Don't have an artificial one. See, it's not dreadful, this. It's marvelous. It's not awful. It's glorious. It's your your mind that's got to be altered, you see, about it all. And he calls you, beloved, to come here and to be with him, his spotless bride. The thing, of course, that inspired this great statement of John's that we read in the third chapter of John was this, that there was an argument about purifying, you see. How could you be pure? That's when he started to talk about the bride and the bridegroom. See? There arose an argument between the Pharisees' disciples and John's disciples about purity. And this is when John said it. They said, do you know everybody's going to Jesus? Oh, glory. They said it themselves. Everybody's going to Jesus, they said. And old John said, praise God. Hallelujah. He's the bridegroom. He's come. Wonderful. You see, this great truth of being pure. You've got to be pure to belong to the bride of Christ. You see. You've got to be pure love. That's what you've got to be. You've got to be of the same glorious quality of life is Jesus. And you get it. For this he gave his own heart. You can have it. For his life came from his heart. Out of it are the issues of life, says the scripture. Everybody's life issues out of their heart. The life you are living, whatever kind of life it is coming from your own heart. That's wonderful. Glorious. Isn't it? So he says, all right, you can have my heart. Well, of course, this is the basis for love, isn't it? You give one another your heart, don't you, when you're in love? I know it's quite a sort of a picturesque term, but it's right. You see? I will give thee the keys of my heart, says the old English folk song. That's right. And it's absolutely true, beloved. He gives you his heart. He wants to give you more than his forgiveness. He has to give you more even than his cleansing. He has to give you his heart. In Jesus, there's no other way to do that but die.
Yes.
If you want to give people your heart, isn't this a great controversy that's going on in the medical realms? I'm talking about the physical heart. They're afraid they're taking hearts out of people before they're dead. That's right. Jesus, you've got to die if you want to give me your heart. He says, all right, I'll die for you. That's love. Amen. You could have my heart. Praise God. You could have all my love. You could have all my life. You can know the very springs and source of it all. Amen. You can have it. Jesus lays down his life for the sheep. That's why he laid it down, for the sheep to have it. That's right. Glory. And it's all so wonderful, beloved, when we're there and we know that we've really received our Lord Jesus in there. And he's all known inside here. Glory. That you can all draw aside, away from everybody else, and get away in your closet. And there he is. He's all in your own heart. And you can commune with the Lord there and adore and admire him and see him in all his gratefulness in your own life. Now that's the place you've got to see Jesus. Praise God. And the more you're there, the more transparent and open you'll be. The more sweet and simple everything will become. All the complications will go out of your life, beloved, when you know the Lord Jesus like this inside. Oh, this is what God wants for us all. Beloved, this is the great truth. You've got it in John 15. You've got it in John 15. You know the great John 14, I beg your pardon. You know the wonderful verse. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. Verse 18, I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live, you shall live also. At that day you'll know that I am in my Father, and you're in me, and I'm in you, and so on. If a man love me, verse 23, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Verse 21, he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. But middle of the verse, I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Glory. Manifest to me. Also plain to me. Is he you? It's all so obvious to you. Is Jesus like that to you? Say, well, of course you have visions. Well, I don't. I've never had one in my life, so you're quite mistaken there. See, so if you think that, that's all wrong. If you think that's what manifestation is, you're wrong. Praise the name of the Lord. There's something better than visions. It's him manifest. That's what he does. He takes you, your body, your soul, your spirit, all that you are and all that is within you, and in that manifests himself. That's what he does. In that that is you, he manifests himself. Wonderful. Someone else to manifest myself into. That's what he says. They'll all know me. This is the rock bottom of it, you see. This is the secret of it. They'll all know me. Of course they'll all know me. You can't know anyone unless love is there. Now, I know that God gives me knowledge of all sorts of things, but that's a gift in the Spirit. He gives me to know conditions and situations and things about people that they're rather scared of to think that I know. But you see, but that's not what it is. That's a word, you see. This is the knowing of intimate oneness, so that I know how he's living. I know how he's feeling. And he knows me. You see, you know him in this glorious sense. And this is your salvation, this knowledge of God. This is your eternal life. If you've got to know how a miserable human being drags their way through till they die, or translated, if Jesus comes, there's no salvation in that. You've got to know how Jesus lived on the earth. That's salvation. This is what Paul was talking about. He says, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation which was in Christ Jesus. Not the salvation he gives, you see, but the salvation that's in him. That is, not that he gives us apart from himself. He can give all kinds of salvations apart from himself. He can save you from earache, toothache, drowning in the sea, asked Peter. He can save you from this, he can save you from that. He's got marvelous multiplicities of saving acts and graces. But this glorious life of his, amen. Oh, hallelujah. This is it. Now, this is what the bride's got to share. This is the thing that he saw this, the great vision and the revelation. And it's a revelation. And a revelation is of something that's actually there. The holy city is here. It's there. You understand this? In spirit, it's there. You got the revelation of it? Praise God. And it's here that you live, you see. When you've got the revelation of this, if we go into those chapters again, why, it's all so precious. And when this man, by the Spirit from Jesus, is seeing the thing what that Jesus sees, and moving in that which Jesus was moving in. You see? He sees it all so clearly. And when he looks inside, he says, yes, well, that's where it is, of course. You see, he says, my Father will come to him, we will come to him, I will manifest myself to him, says Jesus. And you look in there and you see right in the very center of the city, you see the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. That's what you see right at the very center. And I want to ask you, beloved, is this at the center of your being? Right in the center of you, in the great throne room of your life, is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb there? Ah, that's there. You see, God's arrived. You see, you've got this end now. It's here. If he's there in your heart, bridal purity, keeping you from every self, from everything else, like Mary, you see. When the angel said to Mary, he said, Mary, you're going to bring forth a holy thing and it's going to be the Son of God. How can this be? I don't know any man. Oh, glory be to God. That was the foundation of it. Because she didn't know anyone else and anything else, she could know this. Don't you see that? She could know this. And in seed, this is in your heart. And this is what John means when he says, he that's born of God does not commit sin. And he cannot sin because his seed remains in him. And it's in you. The seed of all this is in you. It's in you now, a seed life. Glory. You only need to come together and somebody starts singing glory and hallelujah and start preaching to you, and the seed starts to move inside. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't that? I'm sorry for you if it isn't. Of course, I know you may be, it may be rather new things I'm saying to you tonight, and you're sort of all ears to take it in, and you're forgetting whether anything's moving inside you or not. But that doesn't make any difference. This is all here, beloved. It's here. Praise God. Like Mary, you see, she said, this can't be. She said, I don't know a man so good. So that's how it is with sin. You can't be. You don't know any of these other men and things. You only know him. It's there. You're cut off from everything else. Hallelujah. So I know you go to meetings, you have to nearly tear your hair out and beat your breast and stand around to get people to see they've been crucified and buried with Jesus Christ. You see, you preach it and preach it and preach it, and then somebody at the door says something, you know perfectly well it hasn't gone in what you've been preaching. Well, it seems a decent question they're asking, but you know perfectly well you've preached in vain so far as they're concerned. And this is the tremendous thing, beloved, you see. Get this sense of it, you that can't understand. For it's all the same truth presented in another way. It's all the same truth. Get it into your heart and see this, that you've been brought into this great love of God, and you're the elect of Jesus Christ, and you've got the seed of this in your heart. Amen. You've got the root of the manor with you. You're in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's in love with you. And life is being unfolded to you. And deeply down there inside, there is the great manifestation when every eye shall see him as in New Jerusalem. By faith now in your heart, and when I say by faith, you may substitute two words for by faith and put in reality, for that's what by faith is. In reality, not in mental suasion, but in absolute reality when you use by faith. That in reality, in the spirit, that is in the realest part of you, praise God, you see the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. I tell you, I do now. And in the imagination of the thought of my heart, I can see it all. That you've got an imagination or a thought of your heart. God's made you like this. Amen. And because it's there in the imagination, it doesn't mean to say it's merely imaginary. It's real. God's made you like this so you catch the vision now. Amen. Down in the inward parts of you, beloved, that you can see this gloriously. I can see that Lamb in the heart of the Lord, in the arms of the Father. I can see it. The great thrill of my heart is this, that my Lord Jesus went back. I know exactly how he feels. I felt about it. I understand from what sense he prayed that prayer in John chapter 17. He said, Father, I'm coming to you. Keep these, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. He was going home to Father, and the joy. Why, if Jesus could tell a story of a prodigal son going back and father looking over the ramparts of his castellated building, for they all had to build castellations round their homes and east so that nobody fell off. You understand that? They had flat roofs. They had to build parapets so that nobody fell over. You see? And the father peering out, looking for his son. And his son's come back. The father, imagine him running down there, embracing his son, clasping to his heart, kissing him. And the son couldn't get his peace out that he practiced to say. And father's loving him. And that's a rebellious son. That's a son that's been in the far country, wasting his substance. That's spiritual life he's been wasting. That's the picture in the far country. Many of us perhaps have done that. I don't know. But if he can do that, how about when Jesus came home? Jesus, glory, when Jesus came home, Father. Oh, I tell you, when he left home, he had a choir of angels out on Bethlehem Plain. He had them all lighting up the night as day and singing songs. He had them all out there. He had the shepherds scampering off down there, down to see the baby. That was when he came on up. How about when he came home? Can you imagine it? When Jesus came back, he said, Father, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. The joy, beloved, after laying his head, a crown of thorns on his own breast because he had nowhere else to lay it. He bowed his head. And then they laid him on a cold, cold slab. And then he went to hell, down to hell. And then he rose and walked with his disciples and they said, you're only a stranger. You don't know, you don't understand. Goes home, lays his head, goes home to Father. You know, I live in the thrills of these things.
Amen.
You'll never get anywhere with God unless you're an abandoned creature. No one. It's that old thing on your thing whistling for. No, it's not. Sorry. All right. It doesn't matter. They played a better tune than that. When the Lord Jesus went home.
Yes.
And the Lord lives in us.
Hallelujah.
Well, all right. Forget about it. And so, beloved, God wants you to understand this. This is your joy. This is your joy. This is what the Lord wants for you. This is a bridal privilege for you, beloved. And God has made this right for you through the blood. And we go back into this great Revelation chapter, and John says in verse 10, and this is what you've got to understand about this: wherever these great things of the Spirit are concerned, there is something which governs it. You see, in this great verse 10, it says that when he was going to see the bride, the Lamb's wife, when he was going to see her, he said he was carried away. Now I want you to notice this, beloved, because this is a vital thing in these great things of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, we'll see this. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to dumb idols. Now, if you're going to be in the things of the Spirit, especially in these bridal things and the functions of the Spirit, you've got to be carried away. Ever been carried away? Oh, I often know what it is to get carried away, especially when I'm preaching about this. Hey, carried away. You've got to be carried away, beloved. And the Lord does this tremendous thing. And John I'm only giving you your connections. You must browse in this yourself and let the Lord teach you. We're back in 21 of Revelation now. He was carried away in the Spirit. In the Spirit. To a great and high mountain. Praise God. Now you will know that when Jesus was on the earth, he was carried away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain. Is that right?
Yeah.
It was carried away by the devil, by the way. Oh, yeah. And the devil showed him all the kingdoms of the earth and the glory of it. I'll give this to you. Now you know why Jesus found no difficulty in saying, what? Pooh. You see, the devil was a fool. Never been such a fool as the devil. He got this revelation. He'd seen not the kingdom of the shield that was coming down from heaven out of God. See? You have no difficulty in making this choice. And this is the way you overcome temptation. Not by quoting Deuteronomy to the devil. But the vision you've got. That's right. That's right. Jesus had seen this. What a revelation. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. You see? This is coming down out of heaven. Jesus sent his angel to show John his revelation. See? The angel's now showing John the revelation. John the great, you see, now nothing to believe in. Jesus sees a city. He sees a company of people. And right in the center, himself in Father's arms. All the agony of love, all that for which he died now brought to fruition, all brought to perfection, all the dirt and filth and rottenness and grime, Calvary, and what he had to bear there, all gone, now purity, oh, crystal clarity, gold and loveliness. You see? And this is his thought about you. This is what he saw. It's all so worthy. I'll lay down my life for this, Father. For this, that you and I can have a city to live in for all eternity. That's clean. No sewers in New Jerusalem. Only a crystal clear river flowing down a golden street line. Not a shadow in New Jerusalem. Not a shadow. You can look up underneath. It's as clear as though you look down from above. Caesar comes down from heaven. Oh, from God. But the devil had said, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. But Father said, I'll give you a bride. I'll give you a bride. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. And Father gives Jesus the bride. The man-child has to be born in your heart. Praise God. There, and that's when you are born from above, where the city comes from, coming down out of heaven from God. Hallelujah. My beloved, I beseech you that God will open your eyes and he will fix your eyes on this great crystal city and see what it's all about. That's your destiny. And your predestiny is to capture love's glory and its purity, its wonder, its luster, its brightness, its gold, and its water, and its fruit, and its God, and its Father, and its Lamb, and its four squares now. That's your predestiny, to have it now. you've been predestinated unto the image of His Son, to be conformed to that image. The image of the Son in your now. You've got to have that now. That's the bride. Mm. Hallelujah. Mm. There she is. She's wonderful. She's all glorious in the sight of God. Jesus laid down His life for this. Laid down that He might take it again. And beloved, it's wonderful when He takes it again in such a city as this. You and me, made perfect in His love and in His glory by His power. Have you seen this wonderful city? She has, so we're told, the glory of God. Her life was under a stone, most precious. Do you see that? That's the pearl. All kinds of stones are mentioned, but it's one stone here, a stone, most precious. See? The Lord laid His life down for her, brought her up there. And that's why the gates are of pearl. You see that? Because that answers the pearly state of your own heart. And if you go for the pearl, you're right. Always go for the pearl. Never go for the sapphire, or the diamond, or the ruby, or the chalcedony, or the onyx, or the chrysoprase. Don't go for those. You're to go for the pearl. Alright? That's like answering to like. You see? Have you got like in you answering to God? Is there that in you that answers to God? Is there that in you that is exactly the same as it is in God? Is there? Glory. hallelujah. See, the Bible says, the only begotten Son, no man's seen God at any time. The only begotten Son is in the bosom of the Father. He's ready for it. Well, he's in my bosom too. He's in the Father's bosom and He's in mine. What bride is there, or what bridegroom is there, ever been born, or ever lived and loved and won the other, but that in heart they'd married themselves a long time before they were actually married in flesh? Isn't that right? If not, they ought not to be married in the flesh. They don't marry in heart first. That's right. You see, this is it, beloved. And in heart, I'm married to Him. And this is the great Eastern passion, that the espousal of East was as binding as the marriage. The espousal in the East was far greater than these sort of light engagements that they make today and break them in 6 months' time. Nothing like that. Not out in the East. Not in the pattern of things where God moved. You see, and this is behind the great statement of Joseph. She was espoused to Joseph. It was a terrible thing if Joseph discovered this thing to be wrong and Mary. Terrible. I mean, it's all right, you know her, that's fine. that's wonderful, Joseph. It's all right. You see? And it's like this, and Father says to Jesus, it's all right. You know it, Jesus. You marry the bride. She's mine. I'm giving her to you. That's a wonderful thing. Have you ever been given a Jesus like that? Do you know in your heart that Father has given you a Jesus? And you know that in this true marriage, beloved, the Lord set the pattern in Genesis. He said that he gave Adam a help meet for him. Now that's what the bride is for. And this you get the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost is the one that's called alongside to help. That's his name, Paraclete. That's the Greek meaning. The Comforter, the Paraclete, is one called alongside. Alongside who? You think, don't you believe that? Jesus. He's called alongside Jesus to help. That's what he's come forth for. And he brings forth a bride. You see? Meet for him. As Arthur Wallace pointed out in the lovely service I attended, he said that the bride wasn't taken from Adam's head to rule over him, or from his feet, that she should be a slave to him, but taken from his side, that she should be his equal. That's right. A help meet for him. Hallelujah. And this is the work of the Spirit. And this is why the Spirit just comes, if you like, and clothes himself with the church. Amen. The Holy Ghost becomes embodied in the church. Is that right? Yes, that's right. Just allow your heart to think. The Holy Ghost has become embodied in the church. And the church, beloved, is to be nothing else than a company of people filled with the Holy Ghost. Absolutely filled with the Spirit. And as for me, I've got to be an embodiment of the Holy Ghost. And when I'm an embodiment of the Holy Ghost, I'm a true representative and picture of Jesus. Of course I am. Simple, isn't it? I belong to the bridal company. And the bridal company, beloved, is the company of the first, greatest, a most exquisite love. And to this cause ought a man to leave his father and mother. So this is why, you see, Jesus said that he left his father for her. That's why you got there. He left his father for her. That's right. Wonderful. Wonderful. And he's gone back to Father. And oh, there, folks, it's a wonderful, wonderful picture. He's there in the center. Right from under that throne, beloved, flows the river of water, of life, clear as crystal. Hallelujah. Flowing down the green golden street. Wonderful. See, that's what he said, you never thirst anymore. That's what he said. You see, in John chapter 4, he said, you drink the water that I give you, you will never thirst. Praise God. You see? So you're never thirsty anymore. And the leaves of the tree there for your healing. There for your healing. It's all in New Jerusalem, you see. There's the tree of life. Praise God. There's the fruit there. There's your meat there, the lamb there. Your father's there. Your husband's there. Your Jesus is there. You see? Everything you want is there. Your abiding place is there. That's where you're going to live forever. So you mustn't think, talk about going to heaven when you die. That's Victorian, isn't it? You mustn't talk about that. If you're a gospel preacher, well, preach the proper gospel. through life, don't you know? You've got to preach that you're born again into New Jerusalem. That's what you've got to preach. That's right. Amen. We've got to have a real gospel preached in this country and in every country. But that's the truth. That's what Jesus said, you see, in John chapter 14. He said, in my Father's house are many abiding places. Well, was it places where Father dwells? We always mean places where we live. That's not right. That's not right, you see. The city's all made up of abiding places. You're an abiding place. You're an abiding place. I want to go around and point at you all. I'm not trying to point out one or two favourites. You're an abiding place, you see. That's right. Father's house, that is, where he dwells. That's New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem isn't quite where we're going to live. It's where God's going to live forever. Do you see that? Forever. That starts now. And when he comes in now in the present, he goes right back in the past and pushes out all the sin of your own life and all the inherent tendencies to sin that go back to old Adam. He pushes them all out and slays them all, makes a real clearance, says, let's have this sewer cleared right out. You see? That's right. That's right. Let's have this all cleared right out, you see? So he clears you out for a past eternity, right back, and you're there for all eternity, in the future. You see? And it's all so wonderful. And he lives in there, and he manifests himself inside. And I'm not worried where I'm going to live from. I'm waiting to be clothed upon with my house from heaven, house not made with hands. You see? And then, I'll tell you why. Because, beloved, we want everything to be swallowed up in victory. Praise God. You see, this old body, it catches sicknesses, it gets all misshapen as we go on. I don't believe I'm the same shape as I was when I was 25. I don't think I've altered a lot. Several facial features haven't altered much, I believe. Only gotten more pronounced. But you see, beloved, this flesh, you get bugs at times. You know, you know what I mean by bugs. And it's sick at times. God heals it, of course. But you see, it's all going to be swallowed up. Everything's going to be swallowed up in this glorious victory of Jesus Christ. I'm going to see what that grey, mangled body of the Saviour on the cross can produce for me in a real body, in a spiritual body. And now, in the inner spiritual man of me, Father is already with me. I'm one of the abiding places. Praise God. I'm one of the abiding places. I'm one of God's abodes. if you're not sure anywhere else where God lives, if anybody says to you, where does God live, say, in that man north. If you're not sure about yourself, you can always say he lives in me. If you're all right there, you'll be safe if you say that. That's true. But you've got to be able to say about yourself, do you understand? Say, oh, well, he lives in heaven, you know. Now, don't start that business. Say he's here. Want saving? You'll be saved now. Healed? You want to be healed now. What is it you want now? Drink the water of the life? Drink it now. He's here. Come on. That's it, you see. What do you want? A word from God? Here it is. Where is it? It's here. He's here. He's living here. This is his house. Oh, glory. You see? He visits now this house of clay. This is why I love singing old Wesley. He gets it right. The others try to, mind you. They're good guys. But he's got it. He visits now this house of clay. He shakes his future home. Oh, thou Lord, in this glad day, into thy temple come. You see? He's got it right. Amen. And he comes to live here, beloved. And you and I, being the bride of Christ, are expected to live that crystalline life Yeah, expected to. Praise him. Isn't it wonderful that he should expect it of us? And isn't it blessed that the Holy Ghost has come to see that it's done? Yes. Eh? Praise God. And of course, not just personal purity is the thing that you want to be concerned about, but a great river flowing out of you. Amen. See? A great river. You've got so much life. Talk about having it more abundantly. You see, that's what he said. Flow it out of you. This is the whole picture. God's got so much, he just flows from under the throne. That's where you are. Is that right? Got so much of this life. Absolutely filled, bubbling up, flowing out this precious life, so that anybody can come to you, anybody, and drink, and they won't get poisoned. Amen. And that's a tremendous thing in this life. And you can move about amongst men and women, and you're carried away, beloved. And when you're carried away, it's being carried away in love. For that's the great picture in this truth of redemption. For this wonderful truth of redemption, there are three Greek words used about redemption. I don't want to talk Greek to you particularly. There are three Greek words used about redemption in the Bible. One is agorao, means to purchase in the forum or in the marketplace. That's the place where all the slaves were taken, you know, and all the buyers would go around and see them and say, yeah, she feels a good strong girl, or he looks a great scrapping lad, or you see, and how much? 30 pieces of silver, price of a slave, see? Bought in the marketplace. And then there's a prefix that goes on this, and it's exagero, so it means bought up out of the marketplace, you know, never going back to be sold anymore when he just buys you. Because I might buy this slave, you say, and well, I think she's strong and she can do all my work, and when I get her I find she's a poor sickly thing, so I take her back and sell her again to someone else, you see. But never with you. No, bought right up out of the marketplace. Not for sale. Anymore. Lord, there isn't a price that could possibly be got together to pay for you, beloved. There's nobody able to furnish the money by you. Glory. You've been bought. And then the other great word is the true meaning to loose. Set you free. See, when he bought you, you know that not bought you, so you're going to continue in your slavish bonds. Set you free. Hallelujah. There's your great word, the truth of redemption in the Bible. Wonderful what's in the actual Greek words used. And the Lord wants you to understand this. You see, it's the same word that's used about that donkey, you know, the Lord said, in that wonderful word of knowledge. There's a wonderful word of knowledge of Jesus, you see. Do you want to know what a word of knowledge is? He says, go into the village over against you, for which at your entering you shall find a, yeah, you know, so place where two ways meet, up here, there's a donkey tied there. I said, loose him, that's his word, loose him, loose him. That's your word, loose him. Glory. If anybody says, what do you loose in the curse? The Lord has need of him. Praise God. You see? Amen. Glory. You know what he wanted him for? You know what he wanted him for? He wanted to ride in as the great king and lover. He sat on the young ass. Glory.
Right again. Hallelujah.
Redeemed. And the Lord wants you to see this. Thy King cometh unto thee. That's your Jesus. Going to the city of the great King, Jerusalem. And the Lord wants you to know that he comes to win your heart. Absolutely. Fill you completely. Carry you away. And let you live in the fixed vision of Jesus in your heart. And nothing can eradicate. Nothing can blot out. And when you ask me, how do you feed on Jesus? This is how you do it. You live in such an integrated state with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he manifests himself to you. This is what I've always been wanting. This is what I see as the real Christian life. This is what I thought it must be. Not this hanging on by my eyebrows sort of thing, but all full and wonderful and manifest to me privately. Glory. And a church coming together is all private revelations being ministered. That's right, to one another. Not some sermon gotten up. I minister to you a private revelation, but because you see, all these are open secrets that are, they're all in the Bible. My private revelation, there's no private interpretation of the scriptures, but I mean it's private to me. It's not exclusive to me, but it's quite private. You see, I could take you all and show you our lovely rose garden out there, but I could take you one at a time. You see, and it's just private to you at that time. But everybody else will get the same smell and the same revelation and prick themselves on the same thorn if they want. But this is the tremendous thing. It's shown to me privately. And I come to you and I share my revelation. I share my vision. And we share one another, you see? And we tell forth these great things. And we all come together finally, you see, to the city. The great general assembly and church of the firstborn ones, they're all there, whose names are written in heaven, and we come and we all see him. Yeah, same land, same land. I fell in love with him years ago. You fell in love with him, did you? That's what you do with Jesus. You literally fall in love with him. No, it's not the silly romantic stuff that it's not that. But it's this great, when you fall in love with Jesus, it's a deep, deep thing. It's the committal of a being that knows not how to resist anymore. Yea, but I yield, and I can hold out no more. I sink by dying, love compelled, and only conqueror. Who wrote those lines? Don't tell me. That's him. Only one poet can write that. Hallelujah. Nay, but I yield, I can hold out no more. I sink by dying, love compelled, and only conqueror. You see? That's the way you fall in love with Jesus. It's like the surging of the relentless river from the throne, surging through your being, taking hold in your bowels and deep in your heart and consuming your mind and sweeping you away from everything else and out of the reach of the devil and away there in the God where you can let everything go and it's all pure and clean and wonderful. You can abandon. There's nothing that God finds objection to. That's right. At least that's what I find. And that's for us all to find. Praise God. Have you found this? Can you? Hallelujah. And this is the great secret of tongues. That you can speak and speak volumes and it all rushes through you. You don't know what you're saying. But you know it's love. You see? And you know, you can trust yourself to say 5,000 million, million words and not one word wrong. All so sweet and unaffected. I know why God's given the gift of speaking in tongues. So you get free of your wretched mind. Glory, let go. You see, praise the Lord. Jesus drinks it in. Yeah, that's right. Wonderful. Well, I think I'm not finished, but I think I better stop. Oh, it's 9:30. This wonderful theme of the bride. Great question that the Holy Ghost, or the man representing the Holy Ghost, brought and posed this whole thing. You remember when Abraham, the father, was seeking the bride for Isaac, his son. Only one Isaac in the Bible. And he sent Eliezer, the steward of his household, all his master's goods were in his hand. That's the Holy Ghost. Everything was in the hand of the Holy Ghost. And he goes and he meets Rebecca. And you know the story. For it's one of the wonderful stories in Genesis chapter 24, if you want to find it and read it. And there's an argument about whether she should go, whether she should stay, whether this and what. And so he said, ask her. Just ask her. Ask Rebecca. And he said, wilt thou go with this man? She said, I will go. And I ask you a question. Will you go with the Holy Ghost? Will you go with the Holy Ghost? Will you go with the Holy Ghost? Now he's coming, Jesus now. When he asks you to go, Jesus asks him, will you go with the Holy Ghost? Will you? Glory. If you go with the Holy Ghost, he'll give you jewels, gifts, he'll give you everything. If you go with sin, more and more he gives you. He just has to. He just has to give you more and more. As you get closer and closer to the great consummation, as the life in you develops, and the Lord eliminates this and eliminates that and everything else in your life, beloved, you'll find that the Holy Ghost gives you more and more and more. And one of the things, it's generally about the last thing to come, really. You enter into this final phase of the Spirit. You get to the place called understanding. You get to the place called understanding. Now, there aren't a lot of people who have understanding. Not a lot of people but don't have understanding. They have gifts, but brings you on into this glorious thing called understanding. I remember an occasion, beloved, in the Long Cross. Some years ago now, I'm sorry if you don't know this name, Longcroft, it's a house I used to live in at Fort Lucian, functioned at one period up in the north of England. And I remember being in that place one day, and there weren't a lot of people left. We'd had a weekend conference, and we'd had a very wonderful time. We'd gone through a sort of a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, there'd been a bank holiday due, And everything was supposed to have gone home on a Saturday night. And some said, oh, can't we have a meeting in the morning? And we said, well, we can't have a meeting in the morning. And we said, oh, well, yes, all right. Well, put your hand up, all of you like a meeting in the morning. If there's above 20, we'll have a meeting. I think there are about 40. So we had a meeting in the morning. I could see someone smiling, he was there. Only one person, probably beside my wife. I don't know whether she came down in the morning. But I remember we sat in this meeting that morning, and I sat there, and God just opened up things to me, and I sat in my chair there in front of the congregation. All I could say was, Lord, I didn't understand. God gave me understanding. And so many preachers preach things that they don't understand. They preach them, but they don't understand. Right enough to preach it if it's in the Bible, you can't go wrong. But when you have understanding in the things of the Spirit, beloved, you're getting on. And God's bringing you into greater and greater things. So press on. Press on. Keep going on. Get all you can en route. You can't be too greedy in the things of the Spirit, but you can have all that God has for you. Now, first of all, have you got the heart of this matter? Have you? Now, if you've got the heart of this matter, it's the heart of Jesus in you. You've got the life of the Spirit of the Lord in you, have you? Got the great fruits of the Spirit, have you? You've got this blessed immersion of God, this filling of the royal wine of heaven, preservation of the fruit of the vine. Have you got this, beloved? Are you moving on? Have you been carried away into the gifts and powers and workings of the Spirit? Are you living in this glorious New Jerusalem state inside? Can you now, in your heart, walk up to the throne, gaze upon the blessed Father and the Lamb? Can you, inside? Is he there, all manifest within? Praise God. These things are your inheritance. Maybe you've never heard them put like this as you've heard them tonight. Doesn't matter. So long as you know that there's something in you that sort of responds to you. Don't understand it, Lord, but glory. I'm beginning, I'm going. Amen. Well, keep going. If you've never come to the place where the Holy Ghost has come on you as he must, so that he may be identified with you, glory. And when it's Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, beloved, it's Father, Son, and you. Hey, is that right? That's what God's wanting. All right. Now I tell you what we'll do. We'll have a time in the Lord's presence, and if you're seeking God in any way and manner, beloved, along this line, then we'll all pray together. We'll let the Lord deal with our hearts.